It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're glad you're here and you can be a student in this class. And we're in the midst of the study of the Day of Pentecost with an old Sunday school lesson written for the Sundays of April the 5th, 1925, by E.A. Elam, titled The Blessing of Pentecost. And in our last program, we were looking at what this old feast was called in the Old Testament. It wasn't called Pentecost, but it was called the Feast of Weeks in Deuteronomy 16, and in Exodus 23, the Feast of the Harvest. Now, the reason it was called the Feast of Weeks is because there would be 7 weeks, 49 days, between the Passover feast and the Feast of Pentecost, beginning with the Sabbath of the Passover week, beginning that first day of the week, and then count 7 weeks. That gets you 49 days, and you're back on what we now call Saturday. The next day would be the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of the Harvest, or the feast in the New Testament called the Pentecost. And so you see that day always fell on the first day of the week. And we read about that in Acts chapter 2, and that great chapter that many would call, and correctly so, the birthday of the church. Now we're going to continue studying that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, as we see in Acts chapter 1, Jesus had told the apostles to go to Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he identified that coming as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then we read how that Spirit came in Acts chapter 2. It says this in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. Well, we got to know who the they were. We had just been reading in Acts chapter 1 about the 11 apostles. And there was no chapter division in the writing of the book of Acts. And so reading about the 11 apostles, it says they were all together in one place. You see, we're talking about something happened that came on the 11 apostles. It did not come, or the 12 now, because Matthias was numbered among them. It did not come to the 120 in the upper room. It says they were sitting in the house, but with 3,000 being baptized and many multitudes being gathered together to hear them, it did not come on the 120 while they were in the upper room. It came on the 12 apostles while they were in the temple. And it wasn't a general outpouring of the Holy Spirit for everyone. This baptism of the Holy Spirit came to the apostles. It was poured out upon them. Now, through the laying on of hands, the benefits, the miraculous benefits of that, was dispersed throughout the church as the need arose. Until the apostles died and they were no longer able to lay hands on others, and those gifts then diminished as the work was complete and the word of God was found sufficient and fully documented so that that could carry the church forward unto our present day. I know some people today say we need to be baptized of the Holy Spirit. Well, how are you going to do that? You see, Jesus was the administrator of that baptism. You cannot go baptize yourself in the Holy Spirit, and you can get no man to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did not promise you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This was for the 12. Let me read that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as a fire, and it settled on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. The apostles then were at a place where others could see this. It says in Luke 24 and verse 53, they were continually in the temple blessing God. And so that is the most logical explanation of where they were when the Holy Spirit came. And it came there suddenly. Means in an unexpected way. The sound was as of a rushing mighty wind, and the sound filled all the house where they were sitting. It doesn't say the wind filled the house, only a sound like the wind filled the house. The sound was no doubt to attract attention. After hearing this sound, the multitudes came together. The multitudes, therefore, were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. They had not come together when that sound filled the house and the Holy Spirit came on those 12. They came together after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the tongues that they saw, those tongues of fire on the apostles, was not fire. It was like as a fire. They did not have the consuming properties of fire. I'm reminded somewhat of the burning bush that Moses saw in the wilderness. It was burning, but it was not burned up. And now we have the burning apostles. Now, they weren't really burning, but it looked like fire had come down and set on them. Now, I've seen pictures where it shows little flames of fire flickering over their heads. But it looks to me, as I read this, that it came and set on them. It doesn't say it was just dangling over their heads. It looked like these men were on fire, much as it must have looked to Moses when he saw that burning bush, and God spoke to him out of that bush. And now God is going to speak to these people using the mouths of these 12. As the sound was heard, and the flame-like tongues appeared, the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now others before had received the Spirit and had spoken by it, and the apostles by it had worked miracles, but that was not called the baptism of the Spirit. Such was the power of the Spirit on this occasion, but it was called a baptism. The sound filled the house. The tongues of fire set on the apostles, and the Spirit filled them. It was not a slight manifestation like sprinkling, but such an outpouring and overwhelming of the Spirit that the apostles were said to be baptized in it. The Spirit took possession of their mental and spiritual faculties and controlled and directed their speech. The Spirit spoke through them. They spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were the mouthpieces of God who spoke by the Spirit through them. What they said was what God said. I know some have had the idea that when God speaks through man, he doesn't give them the words. He just gives them the ideas, and man struggles to express those lofty ideas they receive from God in their own words. But that's not what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were speaking the words of God. It wasn't their words. It wasn't even their language. But they were speaking in the languages of all who had gathered from whatever region in which they had been born. And the tongues parted and distributed themselves among the apostles that set on each of them one tongue to one apostle, These tongues indicate how the Spirit would do His work. That is, He would speak, and that He would speak through the apostles, and that He would speak a language which all who spoke that language could understand. Other tongues means other languages than their own. But intelligent languages, they weren't up there just garbling off a bunch of noise. They were saying things that people understood that knew the language in which they spoke. Jesus' promise that the Spirit would speak and would speak the words of God in John 16:13-14. To understand that the Spirit speaks to us now through the inspired apostles and other inspired writers of the Bible will help us much to understand how the Spirit enlightens, convicts, converts, and leads the sinner to salvation and does His other work. You see, the Spirit uses the power of words. They communicate, those words do, the thoughts of God to man. And the thoughts of God becomes man's thoughts. If he will receive them, they enter through his ears and go into his mind. And that is a spiritual part of man. And so the spiritual God speaks with spiritual words to the spiritual minds of men. And that is how God works his power on them. Jesus promised that the Spirit would do certain things. Number one, that he would teach the apostles and bring all things to their remembrance whatsoever he had said unto them, John 14:26. Number two, that he would guide them into all truth and declare unto them the will of God, John 16:12-14. And number three, he would comfort them. This is the Comforter who would abide with the apostles and the Israel of God forever, John 14:16-18. He is called the Spirit of Truth, through whom the world cannot receive. For it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Ye know him, for he abideth with you and shall be in you. John 14:7. Number four, he would bear witness of the truth. John 15:26. Number five, he would do for the world of the following. He would convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and behold, ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged, John 16:8-11. Let particular notice be given to Jesus' declaration concerning the world's not receiving the Spirit. This is point number six. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. The world, of which the devil is the prince, cannot receive the Spirit of God. It is filled with and ruled by another spirit. There are two spirits, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the world. There are two institutions, the kingdom of God, of which Jesus is the king, and the world, of which Satan is the prince and ruler. God fills the church, his kingdom, but not the world. God does not put his Spirit into the world. The church cannot have the Spirit of the world. The world does not recognize and does not know the Holy Spirit. Now number seven. The Spirit would not come in this power until Jesus went away. Then Jesus would send him, John 16:7. And then number eight. Pentecost was the right time. Jesus had gone away. The right persons, the apostles, not the world, were present. And they were in the right place in Jerusalem. For the above reasons, the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the power qualified them for their future work. We're going to continue this study of the day of Pentecost when we return to our next class.